Well, good morning, Ambassador Baptist College. It's a blessing and a privilege to be here this morning. I want to thank, first of all, the Lord Jesus Christ and praise Him for my salvation. I was 14 years old at a church camp in right outside of Dayton, Ohio, and I heard the gospel preached. There was a preacher named Sam Davidson who preached a phenomenal message out of the book of Judges that had really not a whole lot to do with salvation, to be honest with you. But the Holy Spirit of God spoke to my heart that night, and I placed my faith and trust in Jesus alone for my salvation. I want to thank my wife. We've been married 21 and a half years, and God has, we've lived on a couple of different continents and a few different states serving the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's always a privilege, Brandy, to serve the Lord with you. And I will thank my family and thank Dr. Beal and thank you for being here. First time I met Dr. Beal, I'm going to tell this story. I hope you find it humorous because I was humiliated, to be honest with you. We were in Queens, New York. We were missionaries planting a church. And the only name that I had ever associated with Ambassador Baptist College was Dr. Ron Comfort. So Dr. Beal visited our prayer meeting that we had for local pastors there in Queens, Brooklyn, and Long Island at Bible Baptist in Elmont. And some of the guys were talking that the mayor of Lattimore, North Carolina, was coming to visit. And I thought, wow, that's a huge privilege to have a mayor come to New York and visit. I didn't understand. I never heard of Lattimore because I'd always associated Ambassador with Shelby, North Carolina. And so anyway, they introduced, I remember shaking his hand and thinking, wow, what a privilege to have a mayor with us here. And then they introduced him as the president of Ambassador. And I felt, you know, well, I was humbled. Let's just put it to you that way. And so I appreciate Dr. Beal. Thank you so much for the invitation to come and present and preach and just to be with you folks here this morning. Again, my name is Adam Crabtree, and the Lord has called us to reach the world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was called to go to Greece in 1997, and we answered that call during an internship there in Athens in 2002, and then living there and ministering there from 2004 through 2009, and God just gave us a great ministry there. We have three children. They were all born in Greece. And it was exciting. My kids will tell you that they were born in Greece, raised in Queens, and they've landed in Tennessee. And so if you're a ministry kid that's moved around or a military kid, you understand those things. And so anyway, God's been good to us. We were able to see some ministry started in Greece and in Queens. And now we have the privilege of leading the global ministry there of Beacon International. We have missionaries in 16 different countries. And our focus is not Americans starting churches and pastoring them, but Americans starting churches on the mission field, training up leadership, national leadership, starting Bible institutes. We've got several Bible institutes that we've started and training national pastors. We have pastors come and visit our missionaries for 2 or 3 weeks at a time and just invest in lives. And so there's a place for everyone in missions. You don't have to be a full-time called missionary to be a part of missions. Obviously, there's the giving part of missions, but there's also the going, and going even short-term. It can really be an encouragement to a missionary family to have a Bible college student come and say, hey, I'm here for two weeks. Use me however I can be used. I just want to be a blessing to the people and a blessing to the ministry. Let me encourage you and let me challenge you to just continue your involvement and not settle for what you're doing now, but do more. We can all do more for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our office is located in Johnson City, Tennessee. We're rarely there, to be honest with you. Even this year, our travel schedule's been cut back a little bit, but we're rarely there. We're usually on the road traveling, preaching, teaching, recruiting. The privilege of being at the missions conference last year, and I was able to instruct some young men on how to find a wife. You just got to wear wrinkled shirts, and we're just going to leave it at that. All right. If you want to know the story behind that, we can talk later. But anyway, we'll just leave. Wear wrinkled shirts, and you'll find a girl that cares enough about you to to want to make sure your shirts aren't wrinkled. Amen. All right, you have your Bible. Open it to Genesis chapter number 11. I'm really not a pig, I promise. I'm really not. Lord's been good. God, like I said, He gave me a great wife. And she said, whatever God leads us, we'll go. And she was raised in the home of a pastor. Her dad was Dr. Jerry Mullendore. He pastored Eastside Baptist Church, sent several students here. Finley Cutshaw, Tracy Jones, Michael Westmoreland, and amongst others that were sent out into other schools. But God's been so good to us that she just wants to be used of God. And it's exciting. And so find someone who wants to be used by God, and God will bless that tremendously. Genesis chapter 11 is a very curious passage, just to be honest with you. I, as a missionary, I kind of wish Genesis 11 wasn't in the scriptures, just to be honest with you. And here's why. I wish they would have just did what God wanted them to do, and we could all be speaking the same language. When we first landed, I took my fair share. I understand you're the Greek teacher, right? I took my fair share of Greek. Well, actually, Greek took me. All right. So I thought I was going to have a leg up when we landed in Athens. I thought I was going to be able to understand something. And the only thing that I understood as we're walking through the airport was those golden arches. I understood what that stood for. And I didn't understand anything else. And my wife didn't take the only Greek she took was when I was trying to get her to help me review for quizzes and tests and things like that. And she picked up the language like that. And I felt like I had to unlearn so much. And the pronunciation is different. And missions majors, let me just encourage you. Learn the language. Learn the language where God is sending you. You cannot communicate the gospel through a translator. Now, I understand in the short term, you might need to use a translator. I get that. But do all that you can. Invest 40 hours a week minimum in trying to learn the language and the culture where God has called you to go. And we moved to Greece. My wife was 6 months pregnant with her daughter, Emily. And so we couldn't go to classes. So we hired a tutor to come to the house. And I would think I had the language, and I would go out and I would make huge mistakes and just make a fool of myself. And the Greek people are so gracious up to a point. I mean, there's a point where they're like, you've been here long enough. You should not be making these silly mistakes. I remember, hey, listen, your hair does not stop growing once you hit the mission field. You got to get it cut. And so one of the ways that I wanted to learn the language was to go to the barber and try to establish a relationship with the barber who spoke absolutely no English. I would walk in the barber shop and he'd say hello, and he would say goodbye. And as I would leave, he would say hello. I mean, he knew no English whatsoever. And I remember sitting down and looking up the Greek word in a British English dictionary on how to say trim. I just wanted him to trim my hair. And he knocked the guard off those clippers, and he went, and I jumped out and ran out the door. I was like, you're not shaving my head today, all right? And I didn't realize that that's exactly what I asked him to do. And I remember when our daughter was first starting to walk, we went to a playground, and there was another lady that was sitting there by the park bench, and I was trying to communicate with her because my daughter and her son were playing together, and I was trying to tell her how much I loved that Emily and her son were playing together, but I mixed up the pronouns, and I told the lady, I love you, and our kids are playing together. And I thought I was doing the right thing. And in Greece, they wear their wedding bands on their right hand, not their left hand. So the fact that I had a wedding band on meant nothing to her. And anyway, after a mix-up, she flipped to English. She spoke a little, and she was able to help me correct. But, man, I'm telling you, if Genesis 11 hadn't happened, I mean, how easy would it be? How many of you northern Yankees moved down here to North Carolina feel like you're having to learn a new language? You know what I'm saying? I mean, this is the way it is. How many of you Southerners ever went up to New York and thought, that is not English? I mean, you understand what I'm saying. It's language. It didn't have to be that way, though. We're going to look here in Genesis chapter number 11, and we're going to read the first five verses together. The whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, "Go to, let us make brick, burn them throughly." And they had brick for stone, and slime they had for mortar. And they said, "Go to, let us build a city, and a tower, whose top may reach to heaven. And let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And we're going to ask the Lord to bless our time together and to bless the reading of His Word and the teaching. And we're going to ask that as we leave this chapel service this morning, that we all are walking closer to Him than we were when we walked in. Father, we love You and thank You for this time. God, thank You for this passage of Scripture. And God, I just ask that You will speak to our hearts this morning. And Lord, I pray that the three topics we're going to talk about this morning, God, I pray they be foreign language to us today. God, I pray that as we look and study, and God, as we think about our life and our ministries and what You're wanting to do with us and through us, God, that we would, just not settle, and we wouldn't be guided by fear, governed by fear, and God, that we wouldn't be full of pride. And God, we love You and we thank You for all that You're doing. We pray, God, that You help us, and we pray that as we leave here this morning, this chapel service, God, that we're not just going through the motions. God, help us to see ministry and to see our personal Christian walk as a relationship, not a religion. God, a relationship that can be ignored and that needs to be grown. And God, I pray that we don't ignore it and we grow it and we do it, God, in the right way, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want you to understand these things. There are three topics we're going to look at today that caused foreign languages to come about. And these three should be a foreign language to you and I as believers today. First of all, I want you to notice in the second verse, the last clause. They found a plain and dwelt there. They settled. Friend, in the Christian life, there is really, in the Christian life that is growing and moving, there's no such thing as neutral. Okay? Now, there are a lot of believers today filling pews, and maybe even some in here this morning, that you've got your vehicle, spiritual vehicle, you've got your spiritual life in neutral. All right? But in Scripture, we don't see when the Apostle Paul and the apostles were able to turn the world upside down in just a few short years after the resurrection of Christ without social media, without vehicles in the modern sense that we have today. They didn't have their lives in neutral. They didn't settle. They kept pursuing. It's not God's will that we settle for anything, spiritually speaking or in the ministry. But of course, we do. One of the problems with settling is that two chapters before, after the ark, they were told to do what? They were told to go forth, to multiply, and replenish the earth. The problem with settling is it was going to be the exact opposite of what God wanted them to do. And if you have settled in your life today, if you've settled in your knowledge of the Scripture, if you've settled to only studying the Bible so that you pass the test, if you've settled to only doing what's the bare necessity in order to pass and get your diploma, I'm just going to say it, you're not in God's will. God's will is not for any one of us to settle. We're to daily take up our cross and follow Jesus. We're not to settle. The problem with settling is that they were commanded directly by God to go and to replenish the earth. And it's not God's desire for us to settle for anything. But Jesus tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But when was the last time that you were able to take the gospel to a lost person? Now listen, I understand. We're in a time of COVID. I understand that going door to door may not be the exact thing that we can do right now. But that's not the only way to do it. It's not the only way to do it. When was the last time we befriended a lost person? Have we tried to establish a relationship with them with the purpose of reaching them with the gospel? Not just to have another notch to say, look at how many souls I've won today. But because we absolutely love and we care about their souls and we love Jesus so much and we know that Jesus died. There's not a Calvinist in here. I understand that. Jesus died for every one of us. He died for the sins of the whole world. And we've got to take the gospel there. But it's hard to get folks to go next door. It's hard to get folks to give. It's hard to get folks to serve. The church is not something that we go to. It is something that we are. The Greek word ekklesia is an assembly. It's a people. We have a missionary that was able to see a church started underneath a tree. Because they didn't have a building. And now they have a building. But the building's not the church. The building is the people. And we need people. We need good gospel witnesses to go and not settle for anything less than God's best. And it's so easy. Let me just warn you. It's so easy to settle when you're in Bible college. Because we all know the right answers. We all know the right answers. We all know how to take the test, and we know and we began to see this book right here as a textbook. This is the very living, breathing Word of God. This is the only means of salvation. Jesus is the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That message is found right here. This is not a textbook to find sermons, lessons, Sunday school material, things like that. This is this is literally a love letter from God. It's our instructions. It's how we're to live. Don't settle with your knowledge. Don't think, man, I'm going to get my diploma and I'm never going to study again. You think you're studying now. You just wait till you get in the ministry. You just wait till you got to preach Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, on the radio. You just think you're studying. And I'm not minimizing how much you study now. But what I'm saying is, this is not a textbook. Don't think that once you get your diploma, you're done studying and you've got... I promise you, if I talk to each and every professor here at this institution this morning, that they have studied more once they got out of their school studies than they did when they were in their school studies. Don't settle. Never settle. If God has called you into missions, don't settle for something else. If God has called you into the pastorate, don't settle for something else. Don't settle for what God wants from you. You see, they weren't very far from where they started out. The whole earth at this time was of one language and of one speech. It was one culture, one lifestyle. And instead of going out, they found a place of comfort. And they settled. They dwelt. And if I can just leave you with any challenge at all this morning, it's don't settle. Don't settle that you know God enough. You need Him more tomorrow than you need Him today. Don't settle. If you're married, don't settle in your relationship with your wife that you know her or you know him enough. Don't settle with that. Always pursue. Always pursue what God wants from you. Pursue excellence. This is not a job. This is not a career. This is a calling. And you've answered a call. Don't give it 40%. Don't give it 50%. Give it everything that you've got. The God of heaven has called you. He's reached down and he's selected you. He's chosen you for the ministry that he wants. You say, well, hold on. I don't know if I'm called to full-time ministry. If you are saved this morning, you are called into ministry. You're called to go and preach the gospel to every creature. Don't settle. Don't settle. And I'm afraid in our churches, and sometimes I think maybe even our leadership in our churches, that we're all too familiar with this idea of settling. Don't settle. Don't settle. Number two. Look with me in verse number three. Not only did the people settle for less than God's will and God's best, but they also had a pride problem. If there's anything in our churches or in our student body and our leaders and our ministry, colleges like this, we have the least to be proud of. Pride is an issue. Let's look at how it affected the people here. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick, burn them throughly. They had brick for stone and slime they had for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach to heaven, and let us make a name. Again, the problem was they weren't to settle. And they, when they settled, they said, you know what, we're going to build the biggest thing. And I just, I can't remember where I read this. And so I wish I could tell you the source of where I read this. But in doing some research for this passage, there was a thought as to, as they were building the city and the tower, why they were building a tower. Of course, I believe they were trying to build a tower into heaven. But I think there was a secondary motive, and that was they were going to build a tower so tall that God would not be able to flood them out again. God wouldn't be able to do that. And we see later what God thought about that tower. And we see what God thought about that effort when he scattered them abroad. He confounded their languages. And I promise you, the one that nobody could understand was the Greek language of today that they were speaking. But these people were so full of pride. Friend, there should be absolutely not one of us that struggles with pride, but we do. Every one of us does. Pride is a struggle of who's in control. John the Baptist, he said it the best. I've got to decrease. He's got to increase. And this morning, every one of us need to decrease in our own. We need to take our hands off the wheel. We need to allow God to be God. We need to allow Him to sit in the decision-making part of our life. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. We don't hear preaching about that a whole lot because we're kind of afraid that someone might think we're a little bit crazy. But we need to be filled. That means we need to yield. God indwelled us. The Holy Spirit indwelt us at the moment of our salvation. But we can grieve the Holy Spirit of God. We can quench the Spirit. And we can not be filled with the Spirit. And we need more of Him today than we did yesterday. And we're going to need more of Him tomorrow than we had today. The Bible tells us, of course, that pride goes before destruction. And then maybe that's what we're seeing in our country today. I don't know. Maybe we're seeing that in our world today. But I know that it creeps into ministries as well. How does that creep into ministries? Well, I know sometimes, and I don't think they mean it this way, but let me just warn you. Don't make a bigger name for your church than you do for your Savior. Amen. Don't make a bigger name for the college than you do for the Savior. The Savior, Jesus, is that's our purpose. He's our purpose. And His purpose living throughout us. That's where we need to be. So we need to be yielded to Him. Oh, friends, many, many, many are filled with pride, where we care more about what people think of us than what we think, than what God thinks of us. Where we begin to strive to please men over pleasing God. It's when people's thinking takes priority over the inspired word. It's when we're more concerned with making a great name of our church or our ministry than we are a great name for our Savior. It's for when we're more concerned on how the church looks to others than how we look to God. Friend, don't let pride be a problem in your life. Some of you will be getting a diploma sometime this year. That doesn't mean that your time of study is over. And it doesn't really mean that you're ready for ministry. I know it does. I know you think it does. But you're going to get out there and you're going to realize just how much you don't know about ministry. A prideful person will go to Wikipedia. They'll go other places and search for answers instead of going to the Holy Word of God. Don't settle and don't be full of pride. Don't replace God with your own self as the boss. Thirdly, from this passage, and this is in the last clause of verse number 4. Lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Not only were the people out of God's will because they settled and were full of pride, but lastly, they were controlled by fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Now listen. There's times that it's okay to be afraid. If you go on into the mission field, and I've not yet seen a snake on the mission field, but if I ever did, I promise you, you would probably hear it here. I'm not talking about that kind of fear. I remember last year when we were here at Missions Conference, I was leaving the very next week for a trip to Sierra Leone, Africa. We had the chance to take boats and motorbikes into different villages and literally present and preach the gospel for the first time. Some of these people were in their 40s, and that's not old. But for Sierra Leone, that's the life expectancy. And they'd never seen a white person before. They'd never heard of Jesus before. They'd never heard of America before. I mean, it was wonderful to see God do such a great work. But I'm not gonna stand up here and say, yeah, we were brave and macho because there's nothing that scared us. It's scary to go into a place that was hostile and we didn't speak the language and we had a little bit of translator go with us and there was hostilities there. We're not talking about just being afraid. We're talking about being controlled by fear. Don't let fear control you. Don't let fear grip you. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. That's exactly what God has given to us. And we need to think that way. What was their fear? Lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Their fear was exactly what God wanted them to do. I remember when I made my call to missions known to my family, that fear to them, God was doing exactly what their biggest fear was. I'll just share a little bit about that. When I surrendered to ministry, I thought I was doing God a favor by offering myself to preach the gospel anywhere inside the great state of Indiana. That's where I was from. And I thought I was doing God a favor. That's not real surrender. We understand that. But I was afraid to go anywhere else. I'd heard a lot about other states and other countries, and I had no desire to do much of anything else. God does not want us to offer ourselves with any restrictions. God's not with strings attached. He's looking for every one of us to come to a point in our life where we just say, God, whatever you want to do, wherever you want to send me, I will happily go. I might be scared at the time, but I love you more. And I care about the mission that you've called me to do more than the fear that I have in my heart.
lest we be scattered abroad. Their fear was doing exactly what they'd been instructed to do. They settled into a comfortable lifestyle. They were building a city, building a tower, making a name. And they just didn't want to go anywhere else. But God told them earlier to go. Many Christians today, and I'm not exempting even Bible college students, are way too familiar with these three concepts. They settled. They settled for a position at a church. They settled for a position at a camp. And I'm not saying that positions at churches and positions at camps aren't what God wants for you. But if you know deep down that God is, He's given you a verse, He's given you a calling to do something, go out and do it and don't settle for anything else. Just embrace what God wants for you to do. There's an attrition going on, guys. We need more help. We don't need people just playing games with God. We need reinforcements. And you can play a huge part in that today. Don't settle. But then don't think yourself so, I'm just invaluable. There's not a one of, God can get the ministry done with or without us. But He's chosen to use each and every one of us. And we need to serve Him with a glad heart this morning. I can use my kids as an illustration because they're not here. Okay? Our daughter Emily, she's a born leader. She's got twin sisters that are 3 years younger. So she's kind of like, it's like wrangling cats, okay? And I remember we would tell them, you know, go clean. They shared a room in New York. We had about a 900 square foot apartment. And they shared a room. I said, hey, listen, you need to go clean your room. It was just a pigsty. And I remember it would make him mad and she'd get mad. And all of a sudden they were throwing stuff around and the job was getting done, but it wasn't getting done the right way. Let me just encourage you to do what God wants you to do with the right spirit and the right heart, with the right anticipation of getting to see God work through your life. There's nothing greater than when God gets to use you to reach someone with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I understand, one plants, one waters, it's God that brings the increase. But it's a joy to watch when God uses you, when God works and speaks through you. And when He does that, it should not lift us up. We should not be looking to make a bigger name and pursue all these greater things. Pride belongs nowhere in the vocabulary of a Christian. We are redeemed dirt. That's it. That God has chosen to use. We shouldn't be full of pride. And we shouldn't be motivated by making decisions based on fear. Brandy was 6 months pregnant when we got on the airplane in Greece. In Missouri to go to Greece. And I remember we had bought the airline tickets because we're missionaries and we're cheapskates, so we looked for the cheapest ones. And so we booked them way out in advance, and we had about 70% of our support, and so we booked them out. And then a few months later, Brandy, she told me that there would be three people going to Greece, not two, and I'm slow. I didn't understand what she was saying. But we didn't have to buy an extra ticket for that one because she was... Brandon would have been at the six-month mark of a pregnancy. And I remember the fear. Going to a foreign country, not knowing the language, not knowing a doctor, not really having a place to live yet, not having a car, having to take a bus to the appointments or walking to the appointments and so on and so forth. And my wife and I were speaking about it, and she's the one that said she... I'm just going to tell you, I was struggling, and I said, maybe God had given this baby for us to tell us, hey, you just need to hold back. Something's getting ready to happen in Greece, and maybe God's protecting us. And she said, Adam, when we bought those tickets way back then, didn't we feel like God was doing something? Didn't we feel like that's what God wanted us to do? I said, absolutely. And she said, then let's go. Let's go. And so I remember being on the airplane, and we had to have doctor's permissions and stuff for them to allow us on the airlines and things. Sometimes ministry, you take a risk and you take a leap of faith, but God, He pays it off in the end.
He is worthy. Don't allow fear to prevent you from doing what God wants you to do. Don't allow fear to do that, because it'll rob you. It'll rob you. God has not given us that spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. That's exactly what God wants from each and every one of us. And so if you're familiar, I don't know how the Lord is speaking to your heart this morning, but I challenge you this. Don't settle. Don't walk across this stage with your diploma and say, you know what, I've gotten the knowledge I need. I'm just going to study from now on. This is a textbook. Nope, this is God's letter to us. We ought to know this book. We ought to study to show ourselves approved. That's not approved once to get a diploma. That's over and over. We need to walk worthy of the vocation that we're called to do. Don't settle. Don't be full of pride. And don't make decisions based on fear.